At bestvolleyballvideos.com, we have over 150 hours of training videos developed specifically for the youth and high school age volleyball player. Please go to bestvolleyballvideos.com. Hello, everybody. Today, we want to talk about who's actually the number one volleyball country in the world and why. And if we take a look at the Olympic data starting in 1964 for indoor volleyball, and then we look at 1996 on for beach volleyball, which country can claim the title as the number one volleyball country in the world in terms of overall success in the Olympic Games on the court and on the beach? And there's a lot of great programs and teams that have come along over the last 60 years. If you think about the Soviet Union and the Russian teams that just dominated indoor volleyball, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, USA has been extremely strong because of the absolute monster level of talent that plays in this country at the youth and junior and the collegiate level. Japan dominated the 60s and 70s with their skill and their work ethic. China, you know, has had great runs with their women's team and over a billion people. Cuba won three straight Olympic women's gold medals in the 90s and up to 2000. But actually, it's none of these countries that would be considered the best volleyball countries in the world in terms of Olympic success. And, you know, the Soviet-Russia combination won 19 Olympic medals. The United States boasts an even more impressive Olympic medal haul of 22 total medals. But the country with the richest medal tradition in the Olympic Games is Brazil. Brazil has a total of 24 Olympic medals, but more importantly, 19 of those are gold and silver, which means that Brazil has spent a lot of time with their indoor and beach teams playing in the Olympic final for the gold medal. And Brazil also boasts two of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport of volleyball in Bernardino Resende and Jose Gomares, who is known in the volleyball world as Zé Roberto. Resende has won 6 Olympic medals as a coach, 2 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze. The 2 bronze medals were won coaching the Brazilian women's team, and then he went on to lead the Brazil men's teams to 4 Olympic finals, winning 2 gold and 2 silver medals. Gomares has won 4 Olympic medals as a coach, a gold medal in 1992 with the Brazilian men's team, and then 2 golds and a silver with the Brazilian women's team, most recently losing to the USA women's teams in the final at the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo, which was actually held in 2021 due to the delay caused by COVID. I recently returned from a trip to Brazil, and I wanted to discuss and share the Brazil development model and why I think it's not only the best in the world, but why it has allowed Brazil to have so much success across all volleyball disciplines, regardless of whether it's men's or women's indoor volleyball or it's beach volleyball. I've been to Brazil multiple times before, and we had Brazilian teams visit us at Sports Performance on several occasions, so these observations aren't a one-time thing. They're based on observations that I've had over numerous trips and being able to watch the Brazilian teams. And then in 1996, prior to the Olympic Games in Atlanta, the Brazil women's Olympic team, who was coached by Bernardo Resende, came to Sports Performance in the Great Lakes Center to train for a week prior to going to Atlanta for the 1996 Olympic Games. And I got to watch their training on a daily basis there and spend some time with Bernardo, go out to dinner and do some things like that. So why is Brazil so good and why are they so consistently good? And I think first and foremost, you know, they are 100% focused on the end goal, which is to have the best teams in the world at the highest level. Their youth and junior training is specifically geared towards player development, even to the point that they have modified the rules of the game, so younger players must develop great overall skills before any type of specialization takes place, completely separate from what the USA system does. And if you've listened to podcasts that I do, or you've heard me preach on this topic in the past, you know that I'm a big believer that skill development of players comes before team success at an early age, or should. The last time I was in Brazil, I watched a match between 2 teams of 14-year-old boys. 3 things stuck out right away. First, they served underhand. Why? Because they care more about players learning how to pass, set, hit than they do about teams winning at that level. I watched 3 full sets. I think I saw 1 to 2 passing errors and maybe 1 to 2 serving errors. And the rest of the time, every serve led to a rally and multiple contacts with some great volleyball being played. Second, they didn't use a libero. All the players on the court were involved in the basic skills of passing and defense. Third, on serve receive, the attackers could only attack high balls on the left and right side pins, and all the teams ran some type or version of the 4-2 with the setter in middle front and the attackers hitting on the left and right side pins. Swinging at high balls, not hitting quick sets, working on just going up and swinging high and hitting the ball hard. Basic fundamental attacking development for young boys. There were never three players attacking in the front row. They wanted every player to learn how to attack high with power. Hitters in transition could hit high in the middle, but each team was only allowed two blockers to block at any time, with the front row setter normally pulling off and playing up behind the blockers as they moved side to side along the net, or the blockers were blocking in one-on-one situations to the pins. This forced the defenders in the back row to always be prepared to dig. It resulted in a lot of rallies, a lot of first contact work for everybody, and it was really completely, if you've watched 14-year-old volleyball in the United States, with, you know, that's dominated sometimes by a strong server or lots of passing errors, this looked like a real volleyball match. I mean, the ball crossed the net on numerous occasions, lots of long rallies, and really a high level of play for 14-year-old boys. And so, you know, I really love this model because it was so clear that watching these young boys play with the skill level they already had, that they were going to be great players down the road, because they weren't put together by positions. They weren't middles. They weren't outsides or right sides. They were just hitting on the left in certain rotations, hitting on the right in other rotations, not hitting out of the back row. Everybody had to play volleyball at a high level. It was a great developmental model for young players. So another thing is the Brazilians believe in practice. We stayed at the Minas Tennis Club, which is a huge social club. Imagine like a 7 to 8 story country club, huge building with about 80,000 members, multiple pools and tennis courts, several large gymnasiums, a 3,000 to 5,000 seat arena at the top of the facility, which is where the Minas professional women's and men's teams play. And Minas, like a lot of the social clubs in Brazil, they have multiple sports for their members, tennis, basketball, everything like that. But they also have elite level sports for athletes that are selected to play for the top teams in their clubs. And, you know, they start having competitive teams at about 14 years of age and go up to about 19 or 20. They have a separate youth development model for younger than that that's geared towards physical education, agility, coordination training, and then they also include sport as well, but they're really heavy on the coordination and agility. And if it's similar to, you know, what PE classes used to be like, where you're involved in a lot of physical activities, playing a lot of sports, but the Brazilians prepare their athletes by going through a lot of things like this at the young age. Once players are selected to play, say, on the Minas elite teams, they normally practice 5 days a week, about 2 hours a day. They weight train anywhere from 2 to 4 times a week. Their season goes about 10 to 10 and a half months a year total with their training. They've got a break, school break, and they've got vacation breaks, but it's about 10 and a half months a year. They play about 50 matches a year, with half of those matches being 2 out of 3 format and the other half being 3 out of 5. And basically, if they're at tournaments and they're in what they would call maybe pool play, they might play 2 matches a day, 2 out of 3. And then when they get into the playoffs, it might be a 3 out of 5 format, might be 1 match a day. They play way less volleyball than we do here in America, practice way more, obviously. The coaches that I spoke with said they spend about 70% of their training time in player skill development. The other 30% of the time is on system training. Of course, you know, those percentages probably change based on the time of the year and if teams are preparing for important tournaments. But in general, the Brazilian training model spends a great deal of time on developing young players' overall skill set so every player can perform every skill at a high level. At the younger levels, the players have to be able to set. They have to be able to control the ball underhand. The players run almost all the drills other than some, maybe some high-intensity defensive drills. So from early age on, every player has to be able to hit the ball with control. The Brazilian hand contact and the arm swings are just almost meticulous. They have great arms, and they have great control of the ball with their hands because almost everything they do involves training with the ball and controlling the ball underhand, overhand, and by spiking techniques. So, and then how popular is volleyball in Brazil? The Minas Club that we were just at, I recently visited, just had their tryouts this past week, and they had 1,933 boys tried out for about 80 spots in their boys' youth development model, ages 12 to 17 years of age. And I said 12 because if you're a talented 12 or 13-year-old, they're going to let you play in the 14 age group just to give you a chance to start your skill development early. So it's extremely popular. You know, a lot of kids trying out for just a few spots. And, you know, if you think about what does a Brazil practice session look like, and you know, I was recently there with the Sports Performance Volleyball Club boys program, and they took their top two 18s teams down there. And each morning, the two sports performance teams were trained for 2 hours by a Brazilian coach. And then in the afternoon, they would play a five-set match. Each team would play a five-set match against another Brazilian team from Minas. And the morning sessions always started out, players were in pairs. Or small groups, they worked with the ball, overhand, underhand, you know, easy pepper work. And if you're a coach, you know, they spend a great deal of time on what we would call first and second contact work. We would call dig and set. And a lot of times it's dig and set to another person, or it's they would have to dig and set the ball themselves. They try to do a lot of aggressive pepper work. It's not just traditional pepper, but you might dig and set and hit to a person who hits back at you, and then you know you do that, and then you go to the hitting line, and the hitters become the dig set line. But there's a lot of drills. Almost everything they do involves multiple contacts, and they're extremely productive at it, and they're extremely skilled at it. And one of the things that you know, you would see is the players would always try to work at a various setting, digging, underhand passing, attacking drills that were pepper-like drills, because they would continue and go. They wouldn't be terminated. They would be cooperative drills or rally drills where, you know, each player had to control the ball at a really high level with first, second, and third contact skills. And the ability for the players to repeat the skill multiple times in a row was crucial. And, you know, this concept is really what makes good players become great players. And the drills would always become more challenging. They would always become a little more difficult. But so many of the drills meant that there had to be a cooperation among each player, because if we weren't in a competitive game, we weren't in a drill where termination of the drill was the key, everything was cooperative, and the players worked really, really hard to be functional and to be successful, you know, underhand, overhand, and then controlling the ball. And, you know, those three basic skills, if you think about it, those three basic skills, underhand, overhand, and a controlled attacking, allow you to play the game. They allow you to play the game at a really, really high level. You know, the ball can start crossing the net, and then you start developing experience and skills in all areas. So that's one of the things that I took away from it. And the flow of practice would constantly be changing during the skills while they were being executed. There was a lot of, like I said, there was a lot of dig and set to yourself and attack. You know, the dig and set line would become the attacking line, and the attacking line would become the dig and set line. And players were constantly going back and forth, so they weren't doing a lot of the same reps in a row. They were constantly going back and forth between the reps. So at the end of the session, they would have a lot of reps under their belt, but they were constantly changing what they were doing. And instead of rather a large volume of total reps of one skill in a row, you would have a large volume of total reps of multiple skills that were spread out over the session. So, and the key takeaway was that the Brazilian model demands that every player have a high level of basic fundamentals of all skills. The one area that's glaringly obvious is setting and pepper drills, where all the players, including the middles, were able to pepper at a really, really high level. They had great ball control, and oftentimes the Brazilian teams will have their middles, especially women's teams, will have their middles set out in middle front when the setter digs the ball, rather than have the libero set underhand from the back row. And they use a lot of movement in their drills. By the end of the first hour, the sports performance boys who were there training, they would be drenched in sweat. I mean, their shirts would be just covered in sweat just from the ball control training, because there was always constant moving, constant work, constant demands on skill. And, you know, while they're receiving dozens and dozens of reps in that first hour. And the second hour would a lot of times be more of the same, maybe an increase in intensity, maybe some type of 6-on-6 emphasis. And then normally the last half hour would be servers against passers to work on serve reception. And, you know, generally the practices always lasted 2 hours, you know, but again, they practice 5 days a week. So It's about 10 hours of work. But think that the players are involved in running the drills almost nonstop. Drills would change every, 3 to 6 minutes. But there was always a flow to the drill. And, it was always things that players had to become good at if they were going to play the game at a high level, attack at different angles, control. You had to dig and get back and touch cones, so there's movement in the court. But lots and lots and lots of basic fundamental work. Virtually no standing around at all. Everybody was working all the time. And at the professional level, I saw teams that it looked like the professional teams, practiced 2 times a day quite a bit. One of those sessions seemed to be split up between passers and libros coming in to work on digging and passing training. Also, they have a serving machine at Minas from Italy that can spin serve a volleyball close to 100 miles an hour, so that was used every day. A sample drill for that would be like a passer would pass a float serve from coaches on boxes at the end of the court. They would serve float serve, and the passers would take the ball either underhand or overhand, and then there would be 2 or 3 hard spin serves fed into the serving machine. And then after passing 4 or 5 balls, the passer would then go from left back to right back and go back and forth. And, this passing of float and spin serves went on for probably 30, 35, 40 minutes. And then there was probably another 30 to 40 minutes of digging. And it basically, these coaches were up on big coaches up on high boxes, just crushing the ball at diggers. And generally, a digger would dig a ball and then maybe have to pursue a ball or would have to dig a ball cross court and then down the line, multiple balls in a row, or would have to dig a ball and then pursue a deep ball, hit off of a block it that went deep, so you had to pursue it. But always challenging the digger to not just stand in one position, but either dig and pursue, dig and cover tip, or dig line, dig cross. There was always multiple situations put in besides just, I'm going to dig a ball down the line, I'm going to go to the end of the line, I'm going to dig another ball down the line. It was always multiple situational training with in different situations. And the coaches were hitting the ball really hard. And I took some video of the Libros passing off the serving machine because the ball was being served so hard. And you could see the cushioning effect that the Libros would, they would touch the ball out in front of their body. And by the time they recoil their arms back, the arms would be back almost between the knees because the serve was coming so fast. That was how the Libros were cushioning the ball. So, but both the men and women's teams, coaches told me that, they practiced a lot of times twice a day, and a lot of one of the single sessions would be their first contact people, their Libros and outside hitters who passed, working on ball control. And generally, there's 8 or 9 people in those sessions, so small numbers, high intensity, first contact work. So I think one of the things that, I noticed, and I remember when I first started coaching volleyball back in the 80s, Bill Neville was the assistant coach on the USA men. And, I'd ask him, I was curious, and I'd say, which country trains attacking the best? Which country trains arm swing the best? Which countries do you think really do the best job of hitting the ball? And really without thinking, he said Brazil. And this was back in the maybe early to mid-80s. He said Brazil. And, we talked about maybe why, and he didn't know if it was, special exercises or anything like that. But after being in Brazil and watching, watching the Brazilians train and play, it's pretty obvious that from a really young age, they're practicing, and they're not practicing spiking as much as they're practicing arm swing mechanics and ball contact virtually in all the drills that they're running. They do such a great job of controlling the ball, and they can hit down balls over the net just repeatedly without mistakes. They can pepper at a really high level because they can hit the ball hard in a straight line. And I've talked to you guys in the past in podcasts about a lot of people just really poo-poo pepper, but the ability to control the ball in different situations. And they initiate a lot of drills with a down ball where the players hit a down ball, and also it's dig set control, a lot of different pepper activities, half jump pepper, cross court, sharp cross court pepper, back and forth across the net to 1 or 2 players. But they have such good control with their hands. And I think, as I watched everybody, coaches and players, everybody can spin the ball at a really, really high level, even at the 13 and 14-year-old level. It's because they hit all the balls. I mean, other than at the professional level where some of these big guys get on boxes and just crush balls at players, the players are doing running all the drills, and so much of the drill is cooperative or control to teach, angles of your platform, body posture, you know, being able to spin the ball over the net, you know, in a straight line in a certain direction, hitting certain shots. And I really believe that's one of the reasons that the Brazilians, both men and women, have such good control of the ball. Another thing that sticks out in Brazil is that there's virtually no difference between the training of men's and women's volleyball. And, you know, a lot of times, I think even in the U.S., you'll see that, you know, one of the things I think on a previous podcast, I was talking to Troy Gilb with you, and, you know, we had a saying at Sports Performance that young boys should train like girls and older girls should train like boys. But the Brazilians just basically, they train everybody, you know, at the youth level, which I would say under 18, everybody pretty much almost trains the same way because they're so committed to the focus of skill development. And, you know, it's one of the things that you see with, you know, Bernardino. He coached the women to 2 bronze medals, and he took the men's program, and he's coached in 4 Olympic finals, 2 golds and 2 silvers since then. You know, forever he's coached, even the entire time he was coaching the Brazil men's Olympic team, every year in the club system down there, he's coached the women's team in the Brazilian Superliga. You know, Zé Roberto or Guimarães, you know, he coached the Brazil men. I was on the staff in Barcelona with the USA men. I was asked to go on that trip, and you know, he was the coach of the Brazil men's team that won the Olympic gold medal in 1992 in Barcelona. And then he goes over and he wins 2 Olympic gold medals with the Brazilian women. And so it's one of the things that you see down there. And I think we have a culture here in the United States, and there's other countries maybe with the same culture, where men's volleyball and women's volleyball, because of the tactics used at the highest level, it's looked at as 2 separate sports. And one of the things that was obvious in Brazil was that they trained the players at the younger levels almost identical. And you can see it. You can see it with the drills. You can see it with the training. You see it with coaches who go back and forth between the men and women's, you know, and have success at the highest level, coaching both men and women. And it's one of the things that I think we would learn a lot on both sides. Our women's coaches would learn a lot, and our men's coaches might learn a lot, especially our coaches who coach boys volleyball, might learn a lot about, you know, just the dynamic of training the total volleyball player. Because the Brazilians, I mean, you know, I had some conversations with some veterans of the Brazil, basically Brazilian volleyball. They had played back in the 80s and 90s. And they had talked about kind of how we look at things here as, you know, we have this gold medal square camp, and we have this art of coaching camp, and we have this camp for this coach here, and we have this camp for coach here. And, you know, one of the things that the Brazilians had said was that they really modeled their volleyball in the 80s on the Asians, because the Asians played the game at such a high level of skill. And then what's evolved out of that model has been the Brazilian model, because they're bigger, they're more physical, you know, they play with a lot of passion. There's some Latin influence thrown in there with just, you know, you've got a lot of positive emotion, a lot of high energy. But one of the things that the Brazilians feel like is they feel like they have their own model. And it's based on, you know, developing great skills, being loyal to the techniques. Like I said, they're not afraid to adjust and change rules to make sure that, you know, that the things that are important at a young age are focused on at a young age. And I go back to the boys match that I watch where, you know, these big guys, you know, a lot of the boys were well over 6 feet tall, but they're all serving underhand. And there's no libero out there. And everybody's passing. A lot of the boys are passing overhand, because in the overhand men's game with a float serve, you see a lot of overhand passing, hand passing. And so, but one of the things that the Brazilians have done is said, what's the most important thing? And, you know, think about this country. If we served underhand at the 14 and 13 level, about all the rallies that would develop, all the ball control that would happen, if there was no libero where everybody had to pass, and the kids who would eventually be libros, you know, would be great little hitters when they're young, and they would become libros, and they would, you know, because Brazil has had great libros in the past, but their system didn't start training libros at a young age. You know, the players who had great skill evolved into the libro position as they went up in the ranks. And everybody had great ball control skills. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, and again, if you've listened to my podcast, you know that I'm a big believer, and I've said before that specialization is the enemy of greatness. So, I believe that 100%. But, you know, it's just, you know, I think that's one of the things that are really important, and that's the thing I love about the Brazil model, is that they went a step further and they really implemented special rules for young players that created a system that focused on priority of development of over team player development over team success. And it's not that the teams down there don't want to win. It's just that they all have to play by the same rules. And those rules are put in place to create great players that will someday win Olympic championships. And I think the last thing that was clearly evident in Brazil to me was the culture that surrounded the sport of volleyball. And the players just didn't come to practice and leave. You know, you could see that volleyball was such a big part of their lives. They would come early before practice. They would hang out after practice talking with friends, watching other teams practice, sometimes staying at the club for hours after their teams had finished training, just watching their friends play or socializing with the other people on the volleyball teams, maybe people on other teams. You know, the girls' team supported the boys' teams. The boys' team supported the girls' teams. It just seemed like a big family. And so, you know, it wasn't like they were there just to get a scholarship or just to play professional volleyball someday or just to be an Olympian someday. But, you know, it was part of the culture. It was part of something that was really important in their life, and they committed a lot of time to it, and it was really nice to see. So I think the passion that they seem to have really was really refreshing, and it's something I really enjoyed watching. So I hope this has given you a little bit of insight into the Brazilian volleyball system and the Brazilian volleyball culture. And again, we had such a great time at Minas, and Marcelo and Rodrigo, who were our hosts, were just unbelievable. The Brazilian people are just so kind and so warm. And if you ever have a chance to go, I would suggest go and watch the volleyball, but it's the people were awesome. So I want to wish all of you guys a happy holidays and a very, very happy new year. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.